Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We started last week a series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be taking that up for the next few weeks. And all together in three different places in the Bible, there are listings of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they start in Ephesians 4 in verse 11. And these are considered to be the office gifts or the ordinations of God, that He has given these gifts to men to be ordained in these offices. And these people are people who have stood the test of time. They have shown by their service, by their love for the Lord, by their anointing, that they are worthy to hold an office in the kingdom of God. And so these have more weight, they have more anointing, they have more, you might say, status, although that probably isn't the correct word. It's not status in man's eyes, but just disregard in the eyes of God for these gifts. And so these are the office gifts. These are the five that are considered to be the fivefold ministry. And so these are listed in Ephesians 4:11. And He gave, that is, Jesus gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, and some are teachers. And so this is the fivefold ministry. This is the backbone, the structure, the skeleton of the body of Christ, the skeleton of the church. And so these have considerable weight. They have considerable anointing. They have considerable blessing. And so when these office gifts are utilized and practiced, why, the church then is functioning with great power and great authority. Well, you may be questioning, if you are not a believer or you're not a person who is in church attendance every week, or you don't really have any affiliation to a church, you may wonder what has all of this to do with me. Well, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that God wants His highest for you. He wants His best for you. You may not be in a place right now where you feel the calling of God on your life. You may not feel like you need to be in a church. You may not feel like you need to be walking with the Lord. But God has brought you to this radio broadcast right here today for some reason. It's no accident that you're listening today. God has a divine appointment with you right now this morning. And even if you're not in a church, even if you have no walk with the Lord, even if you have no understanding of the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the oracles of God or His Word, even if you're in a place where that is kind of a mystery to you, you need to listen this morning, because you don't know how the Holy Spirit may touch you. It may even touch you this very morning. It may circumcise your heart and put you down on your knees and call you to a higher calling. You may be in a place a year, two, or three from now where you are in a church and you want to seek the Lord with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul. And so God is preparing your heart. The fact that you're listening to me today is evidence of that God is preparing your heart. And so I want you to pay attention and listen, because all the words of God are inspired and breathed onto the pages of the Bible by the Spirit of God, and they are all God-breathed, and they are useful for teaching and instruction, for reproof and rebuke. And so they're useful in your life this very day, even if you just have a lukewarm or a nominal walk with the Lord. If you are a believer, and you've been a believer for many years, and you're listening this morning, then this will be of great interest to you, so that you will know God's plan for the church. And it may not be, it may not look like the church that you're sitting in each and every Sunday. It may not resemble the church that man and his doctrine has put together that you belong to. Well, I want you to consider and pray about that and meditate on that, and just ask the Lord to show you what is the truth of His Word. What is the truth for the church that you're going to? And it may be that you have decision-making authority, or you have some position in your church that allows you to have authority and to make decisions and to move the church forward. And so you can also benefit by the instruction, and maybe the church someday that you go to will resemble the church that is spoken of here in God's Word. And maybe the church you go to already resembles that. Praise God if it does. And you can just move forward then with more instruction and more understanding of God's will, not only for your life, but also for the church. Well, I promised you last week that as we were talking about the apostolic calling, and again in Ephesians 4:11 it says that Jesus gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. I promised you last week that I would tell you a story about someone who has an apostolic calling, and let me just briefly describe that. The apostolic calling is the highest calling of any of the office gifts. It's the calling that the Apostle Paul had on his life. He said, I didn't receive this calling from man. I was not ordained from man. I was not sent out through an agency of man. I was sent out by God and by Jesus Christ. And so therefore, Paul says, I have no obligation, or I'm not held accountable by man. I'm held accountable by Jesus and by God. And so the apostolic calling is a high calling. It's the calling that missionaries have to go into a far-off land, that they're sent out from the place of comfort. They're sent out from the place that they would in their human natural flesh, they would like to stay in this place around family and around familiar surroundings, around familiar settings. But the apostolic calling demands and commands that they go, that they be sent to where God sends them, where he wants to build the kingdom. And when they get there, they lay a foundation. The apostle lays the foundation. He's the governor. He's the one that lays the foundation down. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. In other words, Paul says, I'm going in to lay the foundation for the gospel. I'm going into territories where there is no foundation, there is no structure, there is no teaching. And Paul says, I'm going into those places, and I'm going to lay the foundation, and then others I know will come along, and they will build on that foundation. They'll put the bricks, the walls up, and they'll put the partitions up, and they'll put the roof on, and they'll get things functioning. And Paul says, I know this is going to happen, but he says, be careful about how you lay your teaching or how you build upon what somebody else has started. Be careful about what you add to the foundation. And Paul knew that the foundation that he was building was correct. It went down to bedrock. It went down, and it was full of truth, and it was full of revelation from Jesus Christ himself. And so Paul knew that his foundation that he was putting down was going to hold up the structure. But he said, be careful about how each of you build upon it. And I would just encourage you, brother and sister, whenever you speak about the scripture, whenever you speak about the Lord, whenever you speak about the kingdom of God, that you know what you're talking about, that you get your nose in the Bible and you study it with diligence, just like you studied to get through high school or college or whatever kind of education you have, that you study with diligence God's word. And so when you do that, when you study with diligence, then you know what you're talking about. You're not just spouting myths and fables and cliches that may not even be in the Bible. You're actually preaching and teaching and instructing with the knowledge and the understanding that you truly know God's word. And the only way you can come to that place is by spending time in his word every day, spending time in his word. Be diligent to show yourself approved and to study God's word, to rightly divide the word of God, to be able to rightly divide it, and so that you're not leading people astray with false teaching. So Paul again says, let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, verse 13, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. In other words, so when you teach or when you preach, or maybe you're just sitting having coffee and you come up and have a discussion on the kingdom of God or what Jesus Christ means to you or whatever, when you instruct others or teach others or preach to others, your words that you speak are going to come under judgment. They're going to be revealed with fire. And Paul says, if you're building on the foundation, and this has more to do with more of a lasting teaching or preaching, as in some type of ministry, he says, if you're building upon the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, or with wood, hay, or straw, he said, let each man's work will become evident. Well, gold, silver, and precious stones, you know, are not going to burn up, so there's great value in those. But the wood, hay, and straw, it won't take much of a fire to burn those up. And so Paul is comparing people's teaching and comparing people's ministries to those earthly objects, those earthly things, and he's showing that some will readily burn up and some will not last even through the lightest little fire, but others will, and they will make it through the fire, and they will make it through the judgment when Jesus judges all of our works. All right, and then verse 14 in 1 Corinthians 3 says, if any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, verse 15, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as through fire. And so what Paul is saying is that every person's works are going to be judged, and that is going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:10. He is going to have his works judged by the Lord. You're going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to say, what you were teaching was not right. What you were telling those people at the coffee shop was not right. You did not represent my word. You did not represent my kingdom correctly. Or he's going to say, you have been a good and faithful servant. You have studied to show yourself approved, diligent to handle rightly the word of God. And so I have a reward for you. I'm going to give you a crown, and I'm going to bless you as you come into the kingdom. And so be prepared to stand before the Lord with whatever you're teaching. Be prepared to stand before the Lord with whatever you believe and whatever you've taught, whether to your children or to a Sunday school class or just to people down there at the gathering place or wherever. The Lord wants you to be diligent and to study and to reveal to those that he has given you influence over, to reveal to them the kingdom of God in truth and in understanding. Well, the story that I was going to share with you regarding the apostolic calling in Nairobi, when I was with the students, I had three meetings with university students from 10 different universities, and we met and had a mega kisha on the night before the terrorist attack there in Nairobi. We had an all-night, what they call a kisha, which is an all-night prayer and worship vigil. And we started at 8 p.m. at night, and we went till about 5 o'clock, 5:30 the next morning. And it was a pretty powerful time. We prayed and we worshiped the Lord. We had four or five different praise bands and worship leaders lead different times of worship. And then I got up and preached for about 2.5 hours. Another preacher came on about 3 a.m. in the morning, and he preached for an hour. And so it was a powerful time in the Lord. And the Lord, at the end of my preaching time, he gave me a word of knowledge, which is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that word of knowledge was that there was somebody in this room. There was between 200 and 300 students there in this room. And the word of knowledge was this, that somebody in this room has an apostolic calling that has been revealed to you, and you're not acting on it. And so I spoke that word out, and in a minute or two, nobody moved, but at the end of a minute or two, a man came forward, and it happened to be the roommate that the students had given me, a young man named Mandela. He was named after Nelson Mandela. The students had given this man to me to stay with me at the hostel where I was staying, so that I would have somebody who would watch after me and take care of me and get things for me that I needed. And his name was Mandela Segura. He was a 27-year-old or so young man from out in West Kenya. a soccer player. He was going to Strathmore University on a soccer scholarship. And so he came forward and answered that word of knowledge. And as he came forward, he asked for prayer, and he was the only one out of 200 to 300 people that had an apostolic calling, and that wasn't a surprise to me, because it's not something that God is going to anoint or appoint on very many people. It would require a great sacrifice on this person's part. It would require a great commitment, and a great anointing would come with it, a great blessing would come with it. But anyway, Mandela came forward, and I prayed for him, and I was talking with him afterwards, because he was my roommate, and so I had plenty of time to visit with him at different times. And he told me this, that when he was 7 years old, he came forward at a church service out in West Kenya in his village. He came forward at a church service by himself when he was 7 years old, and he answered an altar call for the apostolic calling. In other words, there was a pastor or a preacher up there who was asking for those who felt like they had an apostolic calling to come forward, and Mandela came forward when he was 7 years old and said, "Lord, send me. I want to be an apostle. I want to serve you in this way." And that was just an incredible story, to think that a 7-year-old young man would go forward by himself to answer that calling on his life. Well, long story short, 20-some years later, there we were in Nairobi, and I spoke out this word of knowledge about an apostolic calling, and there was no one else in the room that answered that call. There was no one else that had, in any way, it had been revealed to them that they had this calling, except for this one man, Mandela Segura. And so again, I prayed for him. I asked the Lord to bless him and show him how he wanted to have Mandela serve him, how he wanted to have Mandela go out or be sent out. And I know the Lord is going to open doors for him that no man can shut, and he will shut doors that no man can open. And so I am looking forward to watching the Lord work in Mandela's life, and watching how he will send him out, and how Mandela will respond to the calling that has been put on his life. Well, as anything in the kingdom of God goes, everything is obtained by faith and by asking. And so if you have a calling on your life, which I know you do, if you're listening this morning, you have a calling on your life. However the Lord wants to use you, you have an opportunity to respond. You have an opportunity to say yes to that calling. And it's just like the calling to come into the kingdom, to answer the call on your life for salvation. Do you believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God? You have to say yes or no to that. You have to make that decision this very day. And if you say no to that, that's your choice. That's your decision. That decision you've made today, you're going to have to live with that, the consequence of that, if today is the last day that you're on this earth. So if you choose to turn your back on the Lord, if you choose to walk away, that's your choice. God wants you to say yes, not only to Jesus Christ, his Son, who died for you on the cross, who shed his precious blood for you on the cross, but God also wants you to say yes to whatever he's calling you to do, whatever he's moving your heart to do. And everybody, again, I say, has a calling on their life. You may not have an apostolic calling or an evangelist or whatever, but you have a calling to do something greater in the kingdom of God, to do something out of your comfort zone, out of your ordinary path. And so I just pray, whatever it is that God has for you, whatever he's moving your heart to do this very day, that you say yes to that, that you acknowledge God, whether it's to accept Jesus for the very first time in your life, or to move forward into one of the gifts, the office gifts, or one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and just say yes to the Lord. Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, send me. Lord, I want to move forward. I want to know more about you. I want to seek your face. And if you say yes to the Lord and you're sincere to do that, get down on your knees and repent of your sins, acknowledge God, and just let him have his way with you, and you will be blessed. You will move forward, and the kingdom will move forward with you as well. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week and have a great week.